This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WANM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. And I'm your host, Wes from the 904, Duval in the building, baby. We got some great, great topics for you. We're going to talk FAMU basketball, women's and men's. We're going to be talking some offseason happenings in the NFL, college basketball, and the NBA. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
What's going on, y'all? It's the kid from 615 Nashville, Cashville, Tennessee. It's Austin Case.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, JB the King. We back here with the Playmakers.
Yo, yo, it's your boy, Chili Willing. Tuning back in with y'all from the 312 Chicago, Illinois.
What's up, y'all? It's Flo West Finest, Kaji Latica, repping the Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State.
Fellas, we are talking FAMU men's basketball. We just took a big dub over Alcorn, 86-78. How are we feeling about our men's basketball team? This is another win in the books.
Yeah, for me, I feel like usually win or loss, you can kind of usually tell what the game is going to look like for the Rattlers just based off of shooting splits. It's a game where we went out there and shot 47% from the floor and 43% from three. And I feel like whenever we're doing that, whenever we're dialed in from in just like a shooting aspect, whenever we're not ice cold, usually we do end up staying in games, competing, and ultimately winning them. It's just we've had too many games, like way too many games, where we've just been ice cold shooting and have not been able to make shots. And that's usually when we end up losing games.
Yeah, I think overall it was a balanced effort, and like Austin said, a decent shooting outing. And I like that, you know, the scoring was kind of spread out with everybody. Pretty much everybody that got minutes was either at double digits or almost at double digits with 9 points. At the end of the day, this is what we expected, or at least I would hope it is what we expect, is to be Alcorn. Alcorn is at the bottom of the SWAC standings. And so this is a good win away from home, because away wins aren't guaranteed.
That's what I was about to say. It's a good job that we got an away win. We are 3-11 when we're on the road, which is not, you know, where we want it to be at. I think we're at an interesting position in the SWAC because there's so many teams tied for second right now. 8-5, 8-5, 8-5, and then 7-6 where we are. So we're still in contention. We have 5 more games left, I believe. So we can build some momentum here. I feel like this is a very important stretch. Of course, we've had some downs in the past couple of weeks, but I think this win can start something like a, you know, just momentum as we go into the tournament.
Willie?
Yeah, I completely agree with what everyone said, especially on Austin's point about shooting consistently. I feel like one of the biggest problems that FAMU has consistently had is having games where they are just in complete slumps and also not capitalizing on runs. So if we're able to shoot consistently, I think that things will go better for the Rattlers, especially in this next game. They have a difficult opponent against Alabama A&M, so I feel like they're going to have to really be locked in, and they can't have bad shooting slumps or it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, we are in the middle of the SWAC. Like, we're 7-6. TSU is behind us at 7-6 because I do believe we have a win over them. Alabama and A&M is 7-5, and so a win over them would do wonders for us in the rankings, boost us up a little bit, take us out a little bit of purgatory. A couple conference wins and then going into the tournament would do us a lot of good.
I just say this before we move on from the men's team. This is the first year where the SWAC tournament is going to consist of every team in the tournament. And a big thing that could help the Rattlers going forward into the tournament is finishing the regular season in the top 4 positions. What that'll do for us is that's going to give us a double bye in the tournament and not make us play a game until, I believe, the quarterfinals, as opposed to if you finish in the 5 through 8 range, I believe it is, you got to play at least one extra game, or you have to play one extra game, and then if you finish in the bottom 4 positions in the conference, you got to play 2 extra games just to get already to that quarterfinal game that the top 4 seeds started.
Yeah, so these last few games are a very big deal, you know, in SWAC play, because we're so close to the top. It's a very tight race.
It's super.
BC is leading everybody at 10-3, but 7-6 isn't too far back. A string of wins, especially against the competition like Alabama A&M, is our next game, will take us, you know, to a better seeding position, which will do wonders. And a deep run in the SWAC tournament, you know, would be great for the school. Michael Trim Jr., you know, who's not on the pod right now, says we're going to the dance, so what a thing to look forward to. But moving over to the women's side of basketball, we're on a 2-game losing streak. We're 6-7 in the conference, which isn't terrible. How do we feel about the women's? It's very, very stark difference from the men.
Well, I just want to say that, I mean, this loss against Jackson State is not a good loss. Well, there's no, if you ask me, it's no such thing as a good loss. But this is a team that we beat earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they simply got to get back at their on their home floor. But Jackson State isn't necessarily a good team in the SWAC this year. They, historically, they have been, but this year, not so much. And these are the games that you have to win if you want to get somewhere in SWAC competition, because the next two games for our women's team is Alabama A&M, Alabama State, and Southern. Alabama A&M and Southern are two of the three best teams in the SWAC.
Absolutely.
And Alabama State is no slouch either. So this was a game that they had to get. And they honestly, we could see the women's team go on a losing streak to end this season,
which would absolutely, you know, tank our positioning in SWAC's play. But, you know, a couple wins, a couple upset wins would skyrocket us, because there's it's similar to the men's, where the middle of the pack is all tied up. Jackson State is 6-7. Arkansas Pine Bluff is 6-7. Grambling 6-6. So if we win a few games, you know, we're all of a sudden we're fifth, maybe fall into fourth. You know, it's a much different positioning going to the tournament. And like Kaysen was saying, positioning is everything. You don't have to play as many games. You don't, you know, people get knocked out in the first round all the time. You know, yeah. March is crazy, man. Upsets happen all the time. All of a sudden, you're playing a not so good team in the third round. Like that does wonders. So
yeah, I agree with you. We need to find a way to come up with some upset victories, Wes, going down the stretch of the season. I do think that the four seed is a little bit out, not even a little bit. The four seed is out of reach.
Yeah.
It's out of reach by now.
Let's try to be positive.
We got five games left, and we're three games out of the fourth place position. I don't think that we're going to be able to make up that much ground. Just too much help we'd have to have. But yeah, like you said, we're in a really bad position right now as far as the ladies team goes. It just seemed like over the course of the SWAC season, we've actually been taking steps back, or maybe it's just the fact that other teams are taking steps forward when we're not. I had a chance to talk to Coach Gordon after the last home game, which was two Saturdays ago, and she was really excited about this road trip that they were about to take to Mississippi to play Alcorn and Jackson State. You go out there and she was excited for nothing, like to take two L's. and it's really unfortunate, because I mean, it's not like these are games where she shouldn't have been excited to play either. Like we said earlier, you beat Jackson State the time before. The game against Alcorn the first time, you lost by 13, but it still, you usually think, you know, you see a team and it's a close-ish game the first time. You're excited to see them again, and you go out there and you take two L's, and those teams show you that they're only getting better over time. And like we said, rough schedule down the stretch. I just hope that we can kind of keep our grounds headed into the SWAC tournament.
Well, one thing I want to point out is I'm not always up to date on injuries with our women's basketball team, but I'm looking at the box score of the Jackson State game, and our star point guard didn't put up anything. Did she play?
She didn't play. You're talking about peripheral
concussion.
Yeah, she got a concussion. See, that's the big issue, because this is a terrible time to have an injury to our star point guard. She's the engine of the offense. You know, when she doesn't create or when she doesn't score points, our team is much worse.
No, yeah, I was just saying, speaking on that point, I remember talking with Gordon earlier in the season, and he said one of the problems is they've never really had consistency with any lineups. They keep switching things around. And so I think that this obviously affecting them, especially when it comes to different game plans they want to execute, because when you don't have one of your main players, because when I was watching the game, I remember Purifoy had the ball literally about 50-60% of every possession. So not having a person that operates the ball, the main person that's making things happen, and you can tell there's not no really little flow with the offense for real. So I just think that's a real, like, that's really hurting them a lot. You could tell by, again, like we said earlier on the show on Saturday, that this was a very winnable game, and they had to win this game because it was a momentum game. But like you said, these next three games are going to be really hard. So I feel like this game is really going to set them back. And now not coming in with no momentum against two, three really hard teams.
Yeah, with Purifoy going out, though, I still had some faith in the team, because Ellington has came back from injury. She's our freshman guard who plays a lot when she's healthy. The last four games, she's played more than 35 minutes. But the problem with her is she shoots the ball so poorly from the field. I'm only shooting 27% from the field on the season, and she's shooting the ball more than 10 times a game over the last four. And when you're shooting the ball that low field goal percentage and you're shooting that many times, it's almost like you'd probably rather you just pass.
You know, I've been to a couple games that were earlier in the season. It might have been last semester, but I did see Ellington play. And when I tell you she should have been on the bench a couple times, I was seeing some shots where I'm just like,
it's rough.
It's the fourth quarter you're in and you're taking this shot.
The bag is there. It's just the shot making ability is...
The shots didn't see the rim sometimes, man.
Yeah.
Like I was sitting there like, hey, coach, do something. But, you know, that's it for our FAMU basketball segment to transition over to the NFL. We're going to be talking some offseason moves. We're going to be specifically talking about 8-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All-Pro, Super Bowl champ Tyreek Hill, who was just released by the Miami Dolphins.
Yep.
And what we really want to talk about is, even though he's a little older, he's 31, he'll be 32 by the time the season starts, he's a very valuable receiver. He was injured last season, but the season before, I think he led the league in receiving, didn't he?
He had two seasons with the Dolphins where he had more than 1,700 passing yards.
And that's with Tua.
He was an all-pro.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he had 1,800 scrimmage yards in 2023. 2024, he didn't have as much, but like 1,800 yards 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's very valuable. He's been a great player everywhere he's been. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, but he did, you know, break everything in his leg.
He did. He has a very bad injury.
And how old is he? He got to be like 32, 31.
He's 31, and he'll be 32 by the season starts.
Oh, he's still in his prime now. He's good.
But he's still in his prime?
Is he coming back? Mm-hmm. Is he coming back this season, though?
He can still do what he does.
He should be back.
I don't know. That injury was bad. I remember watching that, bro.
He broke his leg, correct? Like, he tore some stuff, but he also broke his leg. But he tore it in the beginning of the season. He played 4 games.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, maybe not by the beginning of the season, but he got to be back.
I'm not going to rush it. At the end of the day, I'm still Tyreek Hill, and people are going to sign Tyreek Hill off of name. And I mean, obviously, he's an amazing receiver, but even if he does come back washed, people don't need to know that he's washed. So I wouldn't come back too soon. I would say just go through your rehab, and whoever wants to sign you is going to sign you.
Okay. But yeah. Now we have to decide what teams are the best landing spots for him. And I have a couple in my mind, but I want to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, he's going home.
Oh, wow.
Going back to where he won that Super Bowl, going back to Kansas City. I think it just makes too much sense.
Is there money for that?
Well, the hope is that he takes a team-favorable deal.
I mean, a team-favorable deal is one thing, but it's like...
Do they have money?
A team-favorable... No, that was a legitimate question.
I think it's completely up to Tyreek Hill and what he wants to do.
I don't see him taking, like, anywhere near a veteran's minimum. Yeah, now, even if he takes a pay cut...
No, minimum. Definitely not.
Even if he takes a pay cut, I'm not sure...
I don't even know if he'll take a pay cut. I just feel like it'd be I feel like it'd be a shorter deal. Like a 2-year deal or something like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they sign him to a 1-year, like.
Ooh, the Chiefs have no cap space.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the reason why they kind of parted with him, because they knew they weren't going to be able to pay him.
Yeah, but he's gone and he made his money. That was the whole reason he went to Miami. He's gone. They paid him a whole lot of money. So he won a Super Bowl when he was young, and he was like, I want to get paid. He went and got paid. He was the best receiver in the league, and then he got injured. Now he's a little bit older. Now what's his goal? Does he want to win that ring? Does he want to win that? You want to go out on top?
I'm not going to lie. I put up the cap space for next year.
Yep.
I like
he's at the top.
Not your team. I like the Chargers, man. I mean, he was just with Mike McDaniel in Miami for a couple years where he had, like we mentioned, great seasons.
They were on my list.
You got Justin Herbert over list. There.
Would he want to go play with Mike McDonald again?
I don't know their relationship.
I think he... would love to go play because he's the focal point of his offense.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, he had his best
he gets all
with
his
him.
Touches when from Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel will scheme up him to get his touches.
Okay.
And they have Ladd, so he can't get doubled. And they have
Justin. Johnson. And they have a clear upgrade in QB.
Is it clear?
Yes.
Super Justin
clear.
Herbert
yes.
and Tua?
It's yes. very clear.
Tua's close to out of the league.
It's clear. You're right. But Justin Herbert ain't like...
Once Tua's contract up, we'll see him at Best Buy.
I saw some reports today talking about Malik Willis could be the next quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. Like,
that's not bad.
Malik Willis might be nice, bro.
I don't know that. Yeah, I mean, he'd definitely be a bridge quarterback, kind of waiting until they get their...
Maybe not. Maybe get him on a prove-it deal, and if he proves it, keep him.
Hey, I'm not mad at it. I love Malik Willis. I wish that he had won the job over Will Levis. Led to us getting, you know, the best quarterback in the league.
They said send Tyreek Hill to Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's where I would have watched.
No, it's written, bro.
That's where I would have watched.
Okay, I was going to get there.
Ruin his career.
Wait, come on. Let me get there.
I mean,
the writing is on the wall.
To be clear,
no, it's not.
He said Nashville casual. That means he's a Titans fan. So, this seems a little homophobic.
Yeah. But we have the most money in the NFL.
Yeah.
We got a very young quarterback, very young and capable quarterback.
Yes.
We're in the market for a new wide receiver one. We don't have receivers right now.
But no one wants to play there.
Yeah, I was going to say, who wants to play
there?
They got a new stadium.
It's going
to care.
No, we still got another year before that opens.
And y'all don't have it yet.
He's 31 or 32.
We have the most money. So if there's anybody that's able to go ahead and put in a pitch for Tyreek Hill,
Oh, it's a pitch? Yeah.
Yeah,
y'all
put
y'all
in
get a
pitch,
little foot in the door.
But I'd rather take $8 million from a okay team and make them a great team than take $30 million.
Year two, Cam Ward could be electric. Cam Ward has shown
flat. He will be electric.
Cam Ward got better week to week.
He will be the best quarterback on a terrible team.
We talked
he will
about
be
these,
so fun to watch to lose by 20.
We talked about these one-year prove-it deals. What if Tyreek Hill gets his one-year prove-it deal with Tennessee, goes and both him and Cam Ward just get their stats off, and then Tyreek Hill can go elsewhere wherever he wants to go on whatever.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, Tyreek Hill is not going to the Titans.
Yeah,
like,
why would he do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no, he's not going. Why? My pick, one of my picks is San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. Mm.
They need their offensive weapons because their whole team is injured.
All the time.
And Juwan Jennings is a free agent. Brandon Ayuk won't play for them ever again. They just have disagreements. They signed him to a contract he didn't want to play.
Yeah.
So Brandon Ayuk, I don't know how they're going to deal with it. I don't know if they're just going to waive him. I don't know if they're going to trade him, but he will not be a 49er. And George Kittle will probably be injured to start the season. You need someone on offense besides Christian McCaffrey. And then you've got a great offensive mind in Kyle Shanahan.
I like it.
I think, and they have cap space. They have $41 million. And I don't think he's going to command, you know, $41 million. I don't think it's going to be like 2 years, $41 million. You know, if they're like, hey, you know, you're coming off an injury, we'll give you 1 year, $15 million. I think he goes.
I can see that.
Another question. Would he go to the Raiders?
That's the team I was going to say. No, listen, y'all got to think about it.
It's the same as the Titans.
No, it's not.
The Raiders are in
the
better.
It's for Mando.
The Raiders got Jency. They got Bowers. They have no wide receivers at all.
Y'all think that's better than the Tennessee Titans
right
now?
Yes.
No, it's the same. You think going out there playing Fernando Mendoza is better than...
They have more weapons. They just have more weapens.
They do have more weapons, though.
And it's in Vegas. I mean...
It is in Vegas.
But I'd rather live in Nashville, but I'm sure NFL players would rather live in Vegas. And, you know, the Raiders just have, like, this aura. It's a kind of a stinky aura, but if you ask me. But, you know, it's a little bit of, like...
a stinky aura? Or a stinky aura?
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders have been trash since the early 2000s. But,
yeah.
But, I mean, they're still the Raiders, I feel like.
Shout out Rich Gannon.
The Raiders have a brand. The Raiders have a brand. They've always been in a you know, location where it's warm with palm trees. I don't think Nevada has a state income tax. So, Tyreek Hill, again, like Antonio Brown did, he can just go to the Raiders, get his stats, get his money, and he can help. You know, he can help mold Fernando Mendoza into being a good NFL quarterback.
I just really think he still wants to win. And I said it a couple months ago when the Patriots were doing really good by the trade deadline that they should go and make a move for their star wide receiver. I think Tyreek Hill to the Patriots.
Star wide receiver.
Well, you know, another team.
Who?
Stephon Diggs.
The guy who's about to get locked up.
He's not getting locked up.
He's not. Let's be serious.
Didn't he already get proven? I don't know about innocent? That. Yeah, didn't he already get proven innocent?
No. Did he?
No. No, he did not get proven.
I don't
innocent.
Think he did.
Yeah. I thought that was the whole thing on his charge.
He might think
one?
He's innocent, but I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know.
I thought.
But regardless, they still have a lot of cap space, and they just made it to the Super Bowl. They still need a wide receiver, in my opinion. I think that's.
I don't know. I mean, I think if he goes for winning, I mean, I know it's another team that does have good cap space, but another team that could really use him is the Bills. I mean, again, you go with Josh Allen. They have no wide receivers either, and then it's like they really. He'll know that he'll be in a good system where he has a. Like, it depends really what he wants to do. You already went for the money take, and you seen what like it's not gonna work for you. So I really just go back to. You're going to have to take a cut regardless if you go to the Chiefs or the Bills, but you know that you could do something with the Chiefs or the Bills. So.
I don't know if you could go to the Bills. Like, you could.
He can.
I mean, I don't know.
It's going to be a pick.
I wouldn't like.
Said the Ravens?
Huh?
I'm tired of mocking
my bro.
It's just never going to happen.
Don't talk about the Ravens like that, JB.
What is
this? Come on, bro. Hold on. Don't talk about them like that, man.
Honestly, I think another
we don't have the money. We have no money.
Y'all are
trying to resign.
Win, bro. Y'all don't need nobody else. Bro.
Yeah, no, we just need to win. Shout out Jesse Minter, bro. Please.
Other than the Ravens, I could see Dallas too. They might lose George Pickens in the offseason.
No.
But
because at that point, just pay George. I mean, of course,
yeah, just pay
better,
George Pickens.
But what if somebody else pays George Pickens more than?
I mean, yeah, then. But I would just try to keep him.
No, because even still, I feel like then they'd be in a situation like the Bengals where all their money is spent on offense and their defense.
Well, that's what they do. That's like the Jerry. He like keeps the flashy offensive players and they have no defense.
Right. I don't think.
He tries to draft the defense. Have you noticed that? Like he drafts a player and they end up being terrible.
It is Jerry Jones.
Yeah, he's like, this D-tackle from NC State is going to be great. And he's not. But listen, man, Tyreek Hill, I would love to see where he goes. It's going to be the biggest story of the offseason whenever he gets signed. But we're going to move over to this new segment I've been planning for a little while. I'm calling it Reload or Rebuild. We're going to be doing the first pick just this week. We might do more picks. It's just going to be the first pick for the first three teams in the NFL draft. Who would you take if you were the Las Vegas Raiders with the number one overall pick?
Yeah, Raiders take Mendoza.
Raiders take Mendoza?
I'm in agreement.
Yeah,
I think that's
good.
Yes. Everyone takes taking Mendoza.
Yes.
Wes, do you agree?
I mean, logically or not logically, what I think they will do, I think they will take Mendoza. What I would do is not take Mendoza.
Really? I agree with Wes.
I would trade back.
Yeah.
And get some, I would they're in a quarterback just like death trap. It's terrible to get a rookie quarterback and put him in the Raiders situation.
Is it a crazy situation though for the Raiders?
Offense.
We already said they have Jenty, they have Brock Bowers, they have Clint Kubiak coming in from the Seahawks, who looks like, you know, he was a great offensive coordinator. And so
I would rather, you know, trade back and fill out that O-line. That O-line is terrible. Geno Smith is bad. He isn't as bad as he looked on the Raiders. We saw him on the Seahawks. So you do that. Not that bad.
You do that, but then what's next? They're still going to be looking for a quarterback of the future.
Well, next year. So we trade back. Whoever wants Mendoza can have him. But then we fill out that O-line. You know, maybe we use the maybe we get free agents. Maybe we sign people. Maybe we draft. We fill out that issue because that is a terrible issue. Throwing a quarterback into that is god awful.
They got picks and they have money.
And then you take a first round receiver because you traded away the dude to the Jags. Jacoby Myers. You traded away your number one receiver to the Jags. So you need a new number one receiver because who is it right now?
But you got to
let me show you a vision that you don't have a number one because you traded away Jacoby Myers.
Right.
So you get that number one after you trade back. Maybe you trade back, you know, a couple spots to the Browns. Yeah, maybe the Browns trade up or something.
Hey, bro, we're good.
Hey, Shador is the guy of the future?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I agree, but no one else thinks that.
Since when was Tyler Lockett a Raider?
He's been a Raider for a while. He's just sliding after he catches the ball. Like, he's not doing anything. So you get your first round receiver, you fill out that O-line. Maybe you take Garrett Nussmeier in the second.
No. What are we talking about?
No.
Are you like clickbait?
No, maybe take Garrett Nussmeier in the second or third.
You might as well wait next year then for
you need a quarterback. Who's going to play?
Geno.
That's why they draft one.
I think it's a terrible situation to drop a rookie quarterback.
There's so much more worse situation you could be in as a quarterback.
Well, yeah.
You're a first-round pick. You post a struggle
If things go south, just hand it off to Jenty.
Jenty's not doing well. Jenty is doing bad. Jenty did not have a good season. We saw with our eyes and saw that he's a talented running back. He didn't have a good season because his offensive line is garbage.
But here's the thing about the Raiders. The Raiders have money.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Raiders have money and they have draft picks. They can rebuild that offensive line this offseason.
Hey, all I'm saying is maybe rock out with Geno for one more year.
You can't find a quarterback, bro. Like, Mendoza isn't the greatest prospect, but it's the best option they're going to have available.
You can definitely find a quarterback.
Because here's the thing.
Garrett Nussmeier?
If the Raiders...
No.
If the Raiders...
We've seen mediocre quarterbacks go far if you have a great team, have we not?
Not as a rookie.
We just saw Sam Darnold win a Super Bowl.
Not as a rookie.
We just saw Drake May run through the AFC. He's terrible.
Thing is, though, if you build up your roster, this offseason, then they're not going to be bad enough to go get a top quarterback.
You don't need a top quarterback. I just said that. You don't need one. You don't need Arch Manning. Get John Mateer.
Okay, but even still, with Drake May and Sam Darnold, John
Mateer is going to be your quarterback of the future.
Sam Darnold and who's the other guy you said?
Drake May.
And Drake May were both
top high three.
Well, it took 8 years for Sam Darnold to get there.
He won a Super Bowl. If it takes me 8 years to win a Super Bowl, I'm going to wait 8 years.
Yeah.
But that was with a completely different team.
Well, that's...
You're not going to win an
NFL. Not talking about John Mateer or not.
Sam Darnold was with the Jets, then the Panthers, and then he had to go to the Vikings.
I mean, that's fine, but...
Seahawks. But we're talking about if you're an organization...
I'm just saying, what does the last few Super Bowl champions look like? Have they been elite quarterbacks or elite rosters?
If you have an opportunity to get a franchise quarterback...
So I'm trying
But here's the thing, though. Even with those elite rosters, Sam Darnold is still a I'll call him a good quarterback. Jalen Hurts is a very good quarterback.
Are you going to get one started?
Yeah. Let's just stick with good. Let's stick with good.
So,
yeah.
No, because
I don't say get a terrible quarterback. I'm not saying like try and hope for Brock Purdy.
How good is John Mattier? I mean, I know you're just saying.
I'm a John Mattier guy.
I know you're just saying that name, but I'm saying like how good is a guy like John Mattier or Garrett Nussmeier? How good are they going? Are they really going to be?
If you ask a scout elite. Have you seen the scout rating on Garrett Nussmeier? Garrett Nussmeier is apparently the best quarterback to ever like walk. Have you seen a scout like Garrett Nussmeier?
He was projected to go number one.
Yeah, his play at LSU really tanked him. But then after the Senior Bowl, they were back on him. He's like, did you see Garrett Nussmeier at the Senior Bowl? He was the Senior Bowl MVP. They were talking about him like he's the best guy to ever touch a football.
Someone is going to reach ridiculously for Garrett Nussmeier, and it's going to.
I don't think you should reach. I should just take a second, third.
I still think that's a reach. Well, Garrett Nussmeier proved this year at LSU that he's a fifth round quarterback.
Well, you know, you get the number one overall pick, and then you're the Tennessee Titans picking at four, and you have the best rookie quarterback, and he's better than Fernando Mendoza, would you say?
Who, Cam Ward?
Yeah.
What is he?
Like, answer the question.
Absolutely.
Okay, like, he's better. But the Titans still suck because their team is bad. So build a good foundation for a quarterback to come into. And just now you're picking at four next year.
The hardest thing to find is a quarterback.
When's the last time the Raiders had a quarterback? Derek Carr? In 2016,
they made the playoffs.
Yeah, they need a quarterback. Bro, if you trade out of your first overall pick, that just don't.
I'm just saying that's how I would approach it.
The Raiders don't have a luxury to skip out on the number one pick. Like, the Bears did it because they already had Caleb Williams.
This isn't the 2010s
anymore.
It's just like
with Mendoza. As much as Mendoza, is he really like?
He's not even that crazy to be giving up your one pick.
Okay. So it's a chance, though.
He's not Peyton Manning coming out of Tennessee, bro.
He's not Joe Burrow coming out of LSU.
I'll just say with the position that they're
at. It's not Lamar Jackson coming out of Louisville.
Wes, with the position that they're at right now, it's like if they do anything but take Fernando Mendoza, like the fan base, the ownership will have every right to just go ahead and get rid of everybody in the front office. Like,
they've had the right to do that for a decade.
I mean, and that's correct, but this one's a little bit too obvious. You got a guy who is loved nationally.
Yes.
Just coming off of a Heisman Trophy and a national championship on top of an undefeated season.
Yes.
Like, taking anybody but Fernando Mendoza is grounds for firing.
And if you think that they weren't pitching to Clint Kubiak to come coach here, hey, we're going to draft Mendoza for you. That's definitely a reason why he's there.
That makes sense.
So I feel like you have to go through with that.
I'm just saying, in the league we're in right now, elite rosters are getting you Super Bowls right now. The Patrick Mahomes carrying people to the Super Bowl, it's a few years back. Brady taking half thrown together teams to the Super Bowl a few years back. But I see what y'all are saying, and I agree, but...
Shout out to the Raiders. We've never talked about y'all this much.
Yeah.
Man, this part would be longer than I thought.
he would. If you were the Jets, second overall pick, who are you taking?
I'll just take the best football player. I'm thinking Caleb Downs.
Okay.
I've been seeing a lot of rivalries. I think that's how you say his name.
Out of...
Ohio State.
I mean, the edge rusher is always valuable.
Right. How do you say his name?
Yeah.
Ohio State fan, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah, so going off cue point, I do think the edge rusher would be very beneficial. I was thinking of David Bailey out of Texas Tech.
He a dog, bro.
They really need, like you said, the Jets need everything. I would just focus more on specifically the fact that they had the stat of them being the only team to ever not have the interception. I think that's just a sign telling you go defense. So I would go defense.
I mean, Q, get your pick off.
Like I also said, take the best football player available, and that's, in my opinion, is Caleb Downs. Again, I don't think you could really go wrong with this pick unless you take a quarterback, because the only quarterback that you could take in this range is off the board. So unless Mendoza's sitting right there at number two, you just take whoever, and you roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm gonna have to agree with you guys. Caleb Downs is a good pick.
They literally can't go wrong.
Yeah, really though.
They're very bad. It's crazy how bad they are.
I do love Caleb Downs, of course.
Just because you said they can't go wrong,
they will find a way to go wrong.
No, they won't, bro. Who they saw? Who's their head coach? Oh, they still have Aaron Glenn, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he's a defense guy too. The Jets have a lot of picks. So they have a lot of opportunity to like really stack out their roster. They have two picks in the first round, I believe.
Yeah, they have number 16 for that was the one they got from Indy for Sauce.
Yeah, I really think the combine is going to play a big part.
The combine always does, and it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, but okay. It's just a bunch of athletes.
Arizona Cardinals, third overall pick. They have a pretty decent roster, but it always seems to fall apart. Where are we going with the third overall pick?
We'll get an offensive lineman, in my opinion. I don't think Paris Johnson really worked out that well when they drafted him a couple years back. So I would go O-line. They can draft anything, too, for real.
Yeah, they also...
These teams kind of suck.
Yeah, exactly. They do.
That's why they have the high pick.
I would honestly go, if I was them, I'd be like, what's the point in drafting? Like, are they really going to roll out with Kyler Murray next year?
Didn't they bench him last year?
Yeah. Jacoby Brissett was the starter for the end of the
season.
You think Brissett's going to start next year? You think they're going to roll out with Kyler? I think they're still going to roll out with Kyler Murray.
I think they're going to trade
him. They got a new coach.
Trade him where? Who's trading for Kyler Murray?
The Dolphins will trade for him. Too.
Dolphins. Jets, that, Dolphins.
Yeah, they were saying Kyler Murray into a swap. I don't know why. I don't know what the purpose of that is.
Why would you swap? You got a terrible contract.
Here goes my favorite analogy, bro. Sweet potato, yam. Let's switch them.
Exactly.
Like, what for? If I was them, once again, you draft the best football player on the board. Whoever you deem that to be, whether it be Arvel Reese, I'm looking at Spencer Fanoe, is who CBS Sports has the mock to take. Yeah. David Bailey, if he's there. If Caleb Downs is available at 3, you got to go Caleb Downs. You got to look at Reuben Bain. Those are the guys you got to look at.
So y'all are comfortable drafting a safety. I love Caleb Downs. Don't get confused. But y'all are comfortable drafting a safety at 2 or 3?
Look, here's the thing. Here's the thing with safety.
Bro. It's like pushing 35. How old is Buda Baker?
I don't know.
35 is crazy.
Yeah, I'm comfortable drafting Caleb Downs.
He's 30.
I agree.
My bad, Buda.
Because here's the thing with safety. We always overthink safety. Oh, what if we draft them too high? No, look at Kyle Hamilton. Look at Brian Branch. You see these, if they're an amazing safety, draft them, because overthinking is how Kyle Hamilton gets to the Ravens. Kyle Hamilton had no business getting to the Ravens.
We got him at like 16.
I would say
he should have gone top 10.
Well, they were saying he was slow. He ran a 4.7.
He ran a
4.7.
But he's also 6'4".
The whole deal was like Jordan Davis ran the same time as him.
But he's 6'4".
Like that's why as he a safety. Dropped. He dropped because he ran the same time as Jordan Davis.
But he's 6'4".
Do y'all think because they did
so
sign...
So is Jordan Davis.
They did sign Mac LaFleur to be their new coach, who was the Rams' offensive coordinator. Do y'all think he drafts an offensive guy maybe there?
I don't know. I feel like the Rams are good offensively.
They're solid. Jacoby Brissett was making some things happen.
Jacoby Brissett was putting up the most
talking about the
empty calories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm tripping.
The most empty calories. Bro was throwing for like 300 and losing by 20.
Yeah,
but that still shows that the offense has, like, you know,
weapons. The tight end, McBride is nice. Marvin Harrison, he needs to step up.
Yeah,
but
Marv does need to step up.
Shout out to Bro.
Marv might be.
Marvin's
going to
be
on the trade.
Nah, he's back this year.
There's rumors that Marv is on the trade block, but.
They're going to trade him, bro.
Come on, bro.
They're going to trade him. He's going to go for like.
That's not smart, bro. I don't think he's that bad either. I don't think he's that bad to be doing.
Kyler needs to go. Not Marv.
I do think Kyler's going to start somewhere on a new team.
Kyler Duty Boy?
I think the Jets could trade for him.
Bro, when they linked his play to Double XP Weekend, bro, he wouldn't be on my team.
Man.
And I don't think he'll be on the Cardinals.
Moving on to college basketball, there is a new number one in college basketball, and that is Michigan. For the longest time, it was Arizona, but Arizona just recently suffered two losses, one to Kansas last week and one to Texas Tech. And now the number one team in the country is Michigan. So what are our thoughts on that?
I think it's kind of funny. On the live show, just I think it was a week ago from Saturday, we had the same conversation about if Arizona could run the table. And what do? They go out there and they drop the next two games.
Yes.
We kind of all thought and saw that, hey, they had a gauntlet ahead of them. And not to just kind of step away from Michigan. Arizona was due to lose games. They played a lot of really tough teams at the beginning of the year in out-of-conference play. The Big 12 is loaded. So I don't think that ever expecting them to run the table should have ever been a realistic thought for any of us. They got two really good teams who gave them their best shot. Jacob Toppin played out of his mind in the game that ended in overtime against Texas Tech. And then we all know what Kansas can do as a team. Obviously, They lost to them without Darren Peterson, who's Kansas's best player. But just they lost to two really good programs who gave them, like I said earlier, their best shot. So I don't think you can ever be mad at them. They're still a top five team in the country. Nothing to worry about. I still think that even if they lose one more game in their conference play out of the next, what, six games, they'll still should be good enough to be on the one on somebody's one line in March Madness.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Arizona will be fine. I think they were bound to drop at least one game. But to talk about Michigan, I was looking at their schedule. They are 24-1, which is very impressive. But looking at their schedule, and their best win is Gonzaga and Michigan State. It's like, you compare that to the other teams on the schedule, you compare that to Houston's schedule, you compare that to Duke's schedule, you compare that to UConn, or even Kansas down the line. Michigan just doesn't have those same impressive wins as the other teams that they're ahead of. And, you know, obviously they're a good team, but it's like, how prepared are they going to be for March?
And what I wanted to ask, ISU just beat Houston, and then Arizona dropped two, you know, when we were just talking about it, how they were supposed to run the table. They had a tough schedule. Who comes out on top of the Big 12? Who we taking?
Honestly,
top three are all, well, top four are all like powerhouses. Set to do it. Yeah.
To me, as far as what I'm looking at right now, I'm going to still go ahead and give the edge to Arizona. I think that just as a complete roster, they're the most complete. You got the nice combination of upperclassmen guards, guys like Jaden Bradley, Burries. But then you also got front court pieces who are making everything work, like Krivas and what's the other dude's name? What's the center? Cole Pete, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got a combination of players who I really like in this age of college basketball, which is the bit of experience, but then you also have your young guys gunning.
Yeah, this is the beauty of the Big 12. You know, anybody can beat anybody, especially these top teams. They've just it's been a gauntlet. But looking at the remaining schedules, I would say honestly Houston. Their next game is against Arizona, and it's a home game. They do have to play Kansas, but I think they can afford to lose to Kansas. They have a couple of games.
We talking about the tournament or the regular season?
Regular season.
Oh.
Houston plays Arizona.
Yeah, who's
going to
win the
Kansas.
Conference?
Oh, like, I thought we were talking about the conference tournament. My fault.
No. I mean same. All of that same stuff applies. But
really, because I honestly feel like it's different to me. I feel like in the way that college basketball tournament works, single elimination, like a team like BYU to me is more dangerous than. Well, I won't go BYU. I would say Kansas is more dangerous to me than Iowa State, who I think is going to finish above them, just because I feel like, let's say Darren Peterson's healthy for a full game, he goes for 45. I mean, a single elimination, like all he needs to do is do that once. It's not about consistency. I think teams like Arizona and Houston do have the more consistent roster and consistency on the floor that they'll be better over a long period of games. But like one game, Kansas and BYU are just as lethal as both of them, just because they have those top guys who are able to just go out there and get 40.
Yeah, I mean, and if we're talking about the tournament, all these teams, the Houston, Arizona, Iowa State, Texas Tech, and Kansas, they're all still trying to get a one seed. It might be a long shot for Texas Tech and Kansas to get a one seed, but the other three, they're still in the running for a one seed. And again, like you said, if they run into a hot Kansas team and get knocked out, you know, maybe in the second round of this tournament, you know, that could hurt these teams' seeding. And which we know is very important in college basketball. All ties back to the regular season and why the regular season is so important, because you don't want to be that. Honestly, if you end up being the one seed, you could end up playing Kansas, who's going to be a five seed. So it's just a very dangerous game for all these teams.
Now to wrap this segment up, I actually do want to know who you guys are picking to win that Arizona-Houston game. It's one of the biggest games of the season so far.
I'm going to go Houston, me personally. I feel like they have a little bit more star power, but it's going to be a toss-up regardless.
Austin?
Like I said, I think this is going to be a rough one. Arizona-Houston. I'm going to go with Houston right now. I don't even know if Cole Pete's going to play. I know he's been out recently with I believe it's a foot injury. So I'm going to go Houston right now.
To go off that point, I'm going to go Houston as well, but going off Austin point, I think also like Cole Pete and like just what they got going on right now is just going to affect them for this game. But I do think that Arizona is still the best team in the Big 12.
Q?
I'm going Houston. It's a home game. And in the Big 12, home games mean a lot. We just saw Iowa State last night. Iowa State come back from a good margin against Houston to win at home. They blew the doors off of Kansas at home. And then Kansas beat Arizona without Darren Peterson at home. So these home games mean a lot in the Big 12. So I have Houston because of that.
You know, I'm going to disagree with all you guys. I'm going to take Arizona. I didn't like what I saw out of Houston in those last couple of minutes.
They did really choke down the stretch
of
that game.
That really
they really gave the game away down the stretch of that game.
Did they score in the last minute?
Not in the last minute. I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I didn't like that at all.
They had 67 for a good bit.
No, but we're going to keep it in basketball. We're going to move over to the NBA. All-Star Weekend just happened. It's always heavily criticized. It's always like the dunk contest sucks. There's no competition in the All-Star game. The three-point contest is whatever. Was it good this year? I know the
All-Star Saturday was horrible.
Yeah, I know no one liked the dunk contest. And then
Saturday, the three-point contest was on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
I like the three-point contest, bro.
Yeah, but it's just shooting. Like,
I mean, how good can a three-point contest be?
That's what I'm saying.
I will say this about the three-point contest. I enjoy the fact that the three-point contest can actually consist of all-NBA caliber, all-star caliber.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they'll actually do that. They'll go out there and they'll shoot the threes. I definitely think that it would be like I really want to see Steph Curry like lace him up for one more.
He said that he's going to come back.
He did say he'll be there next year.
I would love to see Steph Curry. I don't think that they need to keep including the big, like the one big man in the 3-point contest.
They do that every year.
Yeah, like since Cat won, I think like they kind of made that a thing that has to happen. Who was it this year? It was Bobby Portis.
Yeah, Bobby Portis.
Yeah, like
it was Bobby Portis. Yeah. I didn't watch it.
I didn't know it was on. It came on in the middle of the day.
No, the timing of everything was just so horrible.
And we're gonna get to that when we talk about the All-Star game itself, because that was ridiculous too. But yeah, All-Star Saturday's lost its it's lost its feel by not having a lot of All-Stars compete in All-Star festivities. The guy who won, I'm completely sorry, bro. Respect to you. Shout out to you. Congratulations and everything. But I had never heard of him before. Keshad Johnson.
I'm a Heat fan, and I'm like, that's the DNP?
That is the DNP, bro.
That's the I scrolled through the roster. That I was is, like, who's injured? And like, oh, now you suiting up?
That's DNP coach's decision right there, bro.
Yeah, we got to be done with the dunk contest.
Yeah, they have to change it. That's where the one-on-one goes. You take out the dunk contest and you put in the one-on-one.
And they asked multiple people at the media day, multiple players, would they be down for one-on-one? And I saw a couple people say they would. So you already got
it. It is some real killers coming back into the NBA. I think we lost it for a little minute, but now you got guys like Ant who really wants to hoop. Wemby likes to hoop for real.
Jaylen Brown was talking a lot, too.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown talked about how he loves the one. Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely something you can look into. They took away the skills challenge this year, which is something that I really like to watch because of what Wemby and Chris Paul did last year, which is make a mockery of it.
They took away the skills challenge?
Yeah, they replaced it with shooting stars.
I think that's why they did it. It's because Chris Paul and Wemby were making fun of it.
Shout out Chris Paul.
Yeah.
But like the one-on-ones would be cool because did you guys see the women do it in Undisputed, I think? Mm-hmm. Kelsey Plum
somebody cooked so bad.
I don't know who. I know Kelsey Plum did something absolutely disgusting. I don't know if she 11-0'd her, but it was bad.
Yeah, if NBA players can if they're willing to do it, put their egos aside, you know, do the one-on-ones, the viewing already went up for this All-Star weekend. I think it was a success at the end of the day. We'll talk about the All-Star game, but the one-on-one definitely seems like the next step to kind of bring All-Star weekend back.
Dunk contest, gotta go.
Gotta go.
Yeah, no, definitely.
One-on-ones are gotta come.
As far as the All-Star game itself,
how'd y'all like choose like the players for the 1v1? You think it's just people that wanna, or
I think you gotta like, start. Start with All-Stars, right?
Yeah, yep. you gotta pick out of the All-Star roster.
Even
like,
if like
somebody has somebody like Jokic, he'll be like, bro, we're not trying to walk, bro.
Okay, Willie. Like, you really only need about 5 guys.
Luka would do it, but like troll the whole time.
You feel me?
Luka would take a bunch of 36-foot 1-footers.
He'll lose.
He don't stand no defense, so.
He would lose, but he would play. You can see Luka's offense would be entertaining for a little while.
Yeah, and these players have a lot of pride.
Luka would not try.
Ant is winning.
He wouldn't try, but the shots would be cool. Because he might make a couple, like.
You got Ant over Curry?
I think Ant would
Curry,
win.
Curry would troll. Curry would take a 1,040-foot 3-pointer.
I said Kyrie.
Oh, Kyrie?
Kyrie versus Ant would be
fun. Are y'all doing like a dribble limit? Or?
I don't care. I got Kyrie.
I think he'll have to be a dribble limit.
But it's also for the fans, too. Because the fans don't want to see triple threat. Fans might not know what triple threat is in 2026. So, but I feel like you would have to.
That brings up an interesting point. People are saying we don't like All-Star Weekend because it's for kids. Like, it's not for us.
Like, it's to see.
That's not true.
It's to see, like, LeBron dunk, and that's it. Like, it's to
you're
see.
You're not even seeing that anymore, though.
Well, like, to see Giannis get that wide open lane because no one decided to get back on defense and see him throw it down. Like, it's, people are saying it's for kids.
We were supposed to see John Morant throw lobs to Zion Williamson. That's what we were supposed to see.
Well, Jaws ain't good. And then,
Zion. Yo, chill out.
Zion's good.
Zion's good.
So, John Morant isn't good, but Zion is.
Yes.
Yeah, Zion's good.
I don't know, man.
All right, yes. That's a conversation that we could have.
Doesn't Jaws' 3-point percentage start with a 2?
I'm sure Zion's does too.
I don't think he shoots as many threes.
Does Zion's weight still start with a 2?
I think it does.
Always going to start with a 2.
I think it does.
Never going to start with a 2.
Actual All-Star game, though.
You're getting a lot of edits, bro.
How did y'all feel about the actual All-Star game, the new format?
Look, I liked it. 23%
from 3. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's god-awful, bro. 23%.
You
want to
reintroduce that,
JB?
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that.
So moving on from All-Star Saturday, how did y'all feel about the actual All-Star game with the new format, the OGs, the young Americans, and then the world? How'd y'all?
I liked it. I think that it was a good start to getting people back on track. But to be completely honest, I feel like we might be giving too much credit to the format. Obviously, the little round robin thing, it worked. You'd seen it work in the Rising Stars game in years before. But I also think that it just had to do a little bit with the players. Like, it looked like Wimby was really out there trying to hoop. Kawhi Leonard was really out there trying to hoop. Anthony Edwards would go out there and try to hoop.
Kawhi.
So, yeah, I mean, I think obviously it worked out very well, and I'm happy that it did work out. And if you need to keep it like this until it doesn't work, let's keep doing it. But I also feel like at the same time, it's like we just got to make sure that the guys that are in the game are hungry. Like, Jokic and Luka were still out there doing whatever. LeBron didn't really want to be out there.
Which,
like,
is fine, though.
It's completely fine. But as long as you have a cool 3 to 6 guys out there who really want to hoop.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I don't think it's
going to look good.
That,
yeah.
Some people just want to, you know.
No, and I'm cool with it. It's just the reality of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as some people are trying, it will be okay. I think the other format that they did, you know, 2020, 2021, after Kobe's passing, where they did the set scored on or him, mm-hmm. I think that brought a lot of competition out of the players, because they're like, you know, Kobe was all of everybody's guy. He's like a player's player. Everyone loves Kobe. So, like, that's another, like, just something that gets the players to really want to compete.
I think it should go back to the East versus West, just simply because there were some All-Star selections that didn't make sense in order to fit the format, and I don't want it to become too, like, gimmicky.
Give us an example.
Maybe, De'Aaron Fox made it. Or Norman Powell played for the world team, right? Am I tripping? Norman Powell played for the world team when he was born in California.
No, he's Jamaican.
Canadian. Oh.
Jamaican.
Are we counting that? He's from California.
Mean, that's where he would play nationally. He would play for Team Jamaica. Same like Cat. Cat plays for the Dominican Republic. He's going to play for the world.
That's true. I guess I get what you're saying. But I think we have enough competition now. Enough people who want to play.
I feel like it was nice. But I definitely think that at the fourth quarter, or the championship game, whatever you want to call it, the quality of play definitely went down. But I do feel like that's because it was just two USA teams left. And I guess that kind of just allowed, especially the old heads, to kind of just coast, being like, okay, you know, we kind of quieted down the conversations that the world is taking over the NBA.
Right, that's another thing.
Maybe
that's
they could do East.
I think
they could do East versus West versus World. Maybe.
There's too many world players on the West. I think
not really though. You got Bron, you got Devin Bush, you got Ant, you got Curry.
But I mean, KD. But the world players still play in the East and the West, so it's like,
oh, so they can.
Yeah, so you would have US team from the Eastern Conference. You would have a US team from the Western Conference, and then you'd have a world team.
I don't know, I think that's too many stipulations. Just keep it basic, bro.
The world causes a little bit of beef. Like, Ant was really talking about, like, oh, like, that's not what it is. Like, it's still American. Like, we still got it type thing. So, like, I think that causes a little bit of competition.
What I was saying. The main important thing is the pride. Like, y'all got to keep it, especially the world thing. Especially, I feel like Wemby was trying so hard, because Wemby was saying earlier on about the USA is soft compared to the other league he was in. So he's trying to prove, like, a point, pretty much, like, this is cake. Like, I'm up in the Western name, and then I just really feel like he needs to take a little bit more initiative. LeBron is just really old, bro. He really don't care about anything. You're not gonna make LeBron care about anything.
And we've seen it work in hockey too. I don't know, like, if y'all really tuned into that, but Canada and the US played in, like, the final of whatever their All-Star game was, or whatever country versus country cup that they had in hockey. But there were, like, four fights in the first 5 minutes of the match. And it really was like this USA versus Canada thing, and it was politics involved and everything, and it was, but it was, it, it made into a really competitive All-Star game. And so I think we're getting a little glimpse of what that could be going forward. And I think if they stick with it, if they stick with the USA and world thing, I think it could build up into a thing. So now, okay, world got to get their get back next year.
If they do East versus West, if they decide to bring that back, I've been seeing a lot of people talk about winner gets home court advantage
in the finals.
Do y'all agree? Do y'all like that?
I mean,
no, because that's too, I feel like
a lot of the All-Stars,
it's too gimmicky.
Yeah, a lot of the All-Stars, yeah, not even like they don't make the finals, like not a, like,
but they, yeah, all, yeah, have, but yeah, they all, most of them have, like, finals,
if
hopes,
but thing
they
is
have
though,
finals
if
hopes,
I'm,
but
if,
like,
if Pascal, if I'm who's a bad team in the West with an All-Star?
The Kings. Oh, with an All-Star.
Well, okay, no, like, well, yeah, like, yeah. Giannis on the Bucks. Denny, like, they're not making the finals.
Denny Avdija.
So let's say Denny Avdija is in an All-Star game. Why would I want to fight for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to have home court?
Yeah, exactly.
I get that.
Or why would I want to fight for Wemby or Jokic to have home court in the finals? Like,
no, that's real. But at the end of the day, the fact that Wemby, Jokic, SGA, out East, Brunson, Cat,
Mitchell,
Cade, the fact that those guys are going to be going hard, I feel like that's worth it. Like, at a certain point, it's like, okay, let's say Denny Avdija isn't going hard. Cool. Denny Avdija can sit down. Denny Avdija can watch.
Yeah, no one's waiting on Denny Avdija, but...
Did y'all... You know. Bro, Wemby cooked him, bro. A reporter asked Wemby, like, how was it playing with Denny and what'd you learn and what's, like, his outlook? And he was just like, well, people say he draws a lot of flat fouls, and he definitely does, so we got to work on that instead of, like, praising him. But
listen, this is bringing us to our favorite part of the show, shout-outs. I want to shout out my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to shout out the Playmakers. I want to shout out my family. Yeah, that's it, y'all.
Yeah, shout out to Nashville, bro. Shout out to the Playmakers. Didn't think I was coming in here today, but it's always a blessing. Yeah, that's actually all I got, too.
Bro, it's been a long day.
Bro, it's been a long
weekend.
Long semester. Shout out to y'all, man. Appreciate doing this. This is a lot of fun. I know we just came from a meeting, so y'all sticking through here is really cool. Shout out to everybody on 90.5, all the shows, all the podcasts. We doing a lot. Make sure y'all tapped in. Yeah. Shout out to Q for that post. I just seen it went up.
Oh yeah, that was tough.
I was about to watch it.
Yeah, 90.5 to Playmakers on Instagram. I don't know if we can plug that, but
no, we can. Actually, I really want to plug the link in our bio. If you want to interact with us at all, or if you want to give us any feedback, click the link in our bio at 905 The Flavor Sports, or just The Flavor. Please click that.
Okay. Yeah, bro. Shout out the last show on Saturday. Shout out everybody listening. Shout out to the guys and this dude, man. You love to talk ball. Hope you guys, yeah, that's it.
Shout out to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout out to my mother, father, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends. Shout out to the entire state of Mississippi with the exception of Madison County. And yeah, that's it. No shout out to my favorite teams this week.
Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM-FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.